The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It's Wednesday, February 17th, and we are in the, we're hurtling towards the meat of the offseason to catch up with all the things going on in the NFL. We'll be talking with our good pal, Jonathan Jones. Also in the feed, AFC East offseason priorities with John Breach and Ryan Wilson. NFC East offseason priorities with Cody Benjamin and Jared Dubin. Coming up, oh wait, that'll be tomorrow. Yeah, NFC East is tomorrow. I'm losing track of my days. We recorded them in odd fashion. Friday will be a five-star mailbag. Leave a five-star review on Apple Podcasts. Any question you want, whether it's about life, beer, particular offseason, a player, a trade, whatever you want. Parenting advice? I got some bad ones. Do you want some DFS picks? Oh, I got those. I'm much better at that than being a parent. Anyway, we'll get to it next week, though. Leave them now. They'll pop up at some point. JJ, what's up, buddy?
Man, it's good to talk to you. It's good to be back home
here in Charlotte. Yeah, you are in Charlotte now.
Yeah. I'd been up in the Stamford, Connecticut area for a few months throughout the season, but I'm back home and happy to be talking.
What was the longest stretch you went without, were you there the whole time?
Yeah, I got up there. I was there.
You didn't see your house for 5 months or your apartment.
That's correct. Yeah, 5 months.
Was that weird walking back in?
Yeah, it was. I had a buddy who came and checked up on things and whatnot, but no, it was good. And, I was happy to do it and thankful that, CBS, allowed me to do it because I didn't
really. Did you hug the bartender at the hotel on your way out in Stanford?
we did a lot of socially distant, hey, let's stay in touch kind of deals. Yeah. I follow you on this social media channel. So it was nice.
Okay. Right on. So the Texans are a thing right now.
Yeah, we're still talking about them, huh?
Yeah. And J.J. Watt's out. Deshaun Watson still wants out. Do you have any does it bother you at all? Some people made a big stink out of how they handled J.J. Watt versus how they are handling Deshaun Watson. I understand why people want to say that, but I also understand why it's kind of nonsense.
Yeah, it's more that it is a little bit nonsense. You're talking about a pass rusher whose best days are behind him. He's on a contract at $17.5 million. Like they don't want to pay him at that price considering his production and injuries the last couple of years. No one in the NFL wants to pay him at that price. Now, could they potentially have sent him somewhere for I had written second or third rounder. I talked with some personnel folks. That was probably too high. A fourth or a fifth rounder. And gotten that in return, especially for a team that needs picks. And then the team that traded for him would obviously restructure that deal. They'd all be under that understanding. Yeah, they could have done that. But they didn't. And that was the one key difference where if Nick Caserio is saying, we're going to do what's in the best interest of the Houston Texans by not trading Deshaun Watson, despite there being a historic trade draft haul waiting for them, because they believe what's in the best interest of the Texans is Deshaun Watson playing for them, which he will not do, then they should also do what's in the best interest of the Texans and try to get something for J.J. Watt. They could still do right by him. They could trade him to a place that he wants to go, a Pittsburgh, a Green Bay, a Buffalo, a Cleveland, if those are the four or whatever they wind up being. And then those teams could restructure his deal. They opted to not do that. They opted to just quote unquote do right by JJ Watt. So congratulations on the PR win, but that doesn't translate to anything on the field.
Yeah, I don't. So it's weird. And I Doug Gottlieb and I were tweeting about this and he was like, have you talked to anybody in the league? So the Watt thing, one of two things has to be true. I don't know if it's one of two things, but this is what bothers me. I get that they weren't getting a high pick for him, but you're getting something for him.
getting something for him. Now, it's not going to change the fate of your franchise. I did want to add that.
Sure.
If you get a fourth rounder, if you get a third rounder for him, that third rounder is not going to be the difference, more than likely, between you going to the playoffs and not going to the playoffs next year.
Of course not. Not even close. Now, you could end up hitting a home run with the third rounder. You could use a third rounder and move up in a deal to get it. My only point is this. If J.J. Watt, I mean, maybe they get a late compensatory pick for him. You know, we'll see how he plays and where he goes and what he signs for. But, like, you hired Nick Caserio and you brought Jack Easterby in. Like, the whole point of it, I thought, was that these guys were groomed under Bill Belichick and that they have connections to New England and that they would act in a way that Bill Belichick would act. You know what Bill Belichick would never, ever, 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 ever do? Is let a player walk for good PR and lose a fourth or third round pick. And maybe it's a fourth, but I mean, like, so are the Texans are the Texans that desperate for good PR? So are they idiots? Are they liars? Like, that's the question. That's my thing. Are they idiots? Are they liars? Or are they dumb liars? I don't know.
Well, I mean, look at their most recent history, right? And, you know, they got rid of Bill O'Brien in large part because they gave him too much power. He ran unchecked as a general manager, and that's what landed them Laremy Tunsil on the largest offensive lineman contract, which, listen, congratulations to Laremy Tunsil, but I don't think anyone would pay Laremy Tunsil that sort of money unless you have to trade all that you did for him. Obviously, DeAndre Hopkins for the second round pick. And now you let J.J. Watt go for nothing. And so it continues bad personnel decisions. In my opinion, this is not the worst of them, and I'm not going to crucify the Houston Texans for not getting, again, a compensatory pick for what, but it does, it is in stark contrast to holding on to a Deshaun Watson, a high-value non-performing asset, and he's non-performing today, and he will be non-performing March 17th, the start of the league year. He will be non-performing at the end of April once the draft comes. And frankly, if we want to go into the, well, what's he going to do? Not show up for training camp, not play week one? No, he will not. But it's not going to get to that point. And if it does, you, the Houston Texans, are absolute abject failures and idiots.
We'll get Watson in a second. I thought J.J. Watt did pretty well, but I thought J.J. Watt's the one who handled this with class. Like, he could have torched him to the ground and said, like they were cutting him no matter what. If they couldn't find a trading partner, and I don't know why anyone would want to take on Watt for $17 million, he had no guaranteed money left. They were cutting him. Like, this was obvious halfway through the season when they're dealing, you know, when they're making these moves and they're sort of rebuilding on the fly and you don't know, and they're a bad team and they don't have any draft picks. Like, he was never going to be part of their plans. They just framed it in a way that was like made people feel good, I guess. I don't know.
Right. And you do it early, where, you know, teams are still trying to figure out what they're doing with the cap. They're still trying to figure out what the cap is, you know. Well, we're going to keep seeing and fans and listeners and, readers of our work will continue to read like, X team has Y amount in cap space. You don't know that because nobody knows what the cap is. So when I keep reading as I'm doing my off season primers over here, as I kind of turn the page on the Super Bowl, and the season, I keep seeing like, oh, so-and-so team has $9 million in cap space. No one knows that. No. Stop saying that.
We were doing the AFC East offseason preview and I was like, Breach was like, yeah, this team has negative $1.5 million in cap space. I was like, no, I think they have plus $1.5 million in cap space. He's like, oh, well, over the cap is using a different number than SpotTrack. It's like, well, then these numbers are throwing out are.
And I've talked with cap people about this who, and folks in the league who say, listen, we are operating at 175 plus whatever our rollover or carryover number officially was from the NFL and NFLPA. So if you got 10 million in rollover carryover, that team is operating at 185 million for 2021. Now, whatever else you get on top of that, that's great. That's money that you found in the couch, but you would not be fiscally responsible if you are anticipating the cap being at even, let's say, 185 and then adding your rollover. No one, it's all guessing right now.
Yeah, it really is. And that's part of an offseason of COVID. The first, I don't want to call it a post-COVID offseason, but last offseason was the COVID offseason. I mean, yeah, this is the first, you know, we don't know. There's a lot still to learn about, you know, how the future will unfold. You mentioned Deshaun Watson. You know, has there been any movement that you've heard about with Watson in terms of the Texans taking calls, because some buzz has said that they're just like, no, we're not trading him.
Yeah, and, I mean, that's it. I keep getting asked, what will it take for the Texans to trade Deshaun Watson? Fact is, no one knows, because the Texans are absolutely dug in that they are not trading him. And so teams are calling. They're not getting anywhere with the Houston Texans. They can call Deshaun Watson's camp, and Deshaun Watson's camp is like, yeah, you know, it's sort of up to the Texans. Now, Deshaun and his camp, they certainly do have leverage. He's coming off a career year. He's 25 years old. He very clearly doesn't want to play there. And he does have, as I'm told, a short list of teams. Now, he and his camp are very wise to keep that close to the vest, because, as I've written, it behooves all three parties, Deshaun Watson's new team, let's call it Team X, Deshaun Watson, and the Houston Texans, to all work together. It takes three to tango here. Mm-hmm. And the Houston Texans are only going to let go of Deshaun Watson, at a time that would be favorable to Deshaun Watson and to Team X, if they can get proper value for Deshaun Watson. And you can argue they'll never be able to get proper value for him, and maybe that's a fine and fair argument, but you have to get something for him. And if he releases, hey, I'm only going to these four or five teams, or two or three teams, that then drives his value down, because everyone now knows that it's not an auction or a free-for-all with 12 to 14 teams. So we will likely not hear a defined list from Deshaun Watson. We can obviously guess. We know that he very much likes Miami. We understand that going to play for Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco, and you look at Jimmy Garoppolo's cap number and you say, yeah, they could make it work. You don't know how they're going to make it work with the salary cap. You can look at New York, and he likes spending time in New York. His publicist lives in New York. Perhaps that could work with the Jets if he wants to go there. You can make an argument that that's just Houston Texans 2.0. And then finally, the Carolina Panthers are a team that will very aggressively pursue Deshaun, have been aggressively pursuing a better quarterback than Teddy Bridgewater, as evidenced by their attempts at Matt Stafford. And I should say that the Carolina Panthers' attempts at Matt Stafford, which involved a first-round pick, the number 8 overall pick, and Teddy Bridgewater, they were so adamant and aggressive in Matt Stafford because they believe that the Houston Texans will not make a move with Deshaun Watson at the proper time. And so the Texans have gotten the word out, we're not doing anything with him. Well, does the Carolina Panthers and other teams, do they want to go to the dance and be left without a dance partner? Or do you want to try and say, hey, want to go to the dance with me, Matt Stafford? You're not as cute as Deshaun Watson, but I really want a dance partner.
You don't want to show up to the dance with no date.
So
no date, you know, with the 8th overall pick.
That's exactly right. So yeah. That's where they're at right now.
Okay. With the Panthers, I think the Panthers are really interesting. Somebody asked me on radio this past week, I don't remember who it was, but they were like, it was Adam Gold. Sorry, Gold. It's been a long week.
You do a lot of radio.
Yeah. But Gold, it was the end of the hit with Gold on Monday. And he said, where's your prediction for where Deshaun Watson goes? I said, I think it's the Panthers. Cause like, I think Miami is going to be, I think Houston and Miami make a lot of sense. But like, my thing is, I'm a spiteful person. I don't want to buy back my picks from Houston for my franchise quarterback. Cause then you end up in a situation where people start comparing the thing, and it's going to look like you traded Deshaun Watson for Laramie Tunsil.
I mean, eventually look that way.
Or like Laramie Tunsil and a first or something. I mean, it's going to look bad. And I think if the Jets, I don't think that Joe Douglas is going to want to trade three or four first round picks when he has a roster in the particular shape that it's in. And you can sort of kick yourself down the curb a little bit by rolling with Sam Darnold. I get that Deshaun Watson's way better. Don't get me wrong, but.
Right. Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of Sam Darnold, the player. And I understand all the issues with him and all the head coaches and offensive coordinators and the injuries and stuff. It eventually, and Brinson, you'll appreciate this. It eventually kind of becomes like NC State basketball or NC State football. Like every year there's an excuse. And after like 20 years, it's like, hey, maybe this is a program issue. For Sam Darnold, maybe it's like a Sam Darnold issue and like we can keep explaining it away, but understand that he will likely never have perfect circumstances, for five straight years. So just it sort of is what it is.
Unbelievably disrespectful. However accurate, just unbelievably disrespectful.
Just a complete stray. as far as Watson though, I mean, I look at Houston and I see no picks until the third round. I see, they just cleared $17.5 million in cap space. Cut David Johnson, you'll clear $6 more million. You need some cheap labor. You're in a tough spot. You have a new head coach. You have a new GM. Watson's not going to be on a team that's going to tank. And right now, this team has all the symptoms of a tank job. And so what's the best thing to do when you are entering a tank, what should be an obvious tank? You need a bunch of draft picks. And the Houston Texans don't really have any, least not until the third round. So I understand. Yeah, well, you're a spiteful dude, and I get it. And, for years, people will compare it. But there is also the built-in excuse for the Texans that was Bill O'Brien. We're Nick Caserio, and this is the future of the Houston Texans. So, yeah, is it buying back our picks? Yeah, it is. But it's also Nick Caserio saying, this is my lot in life, and I have to make the most of it.
All right, well, let's talk about the Panthers' possibility, because to me, they don't have as good a pick as the Dolphins or the Jets, obviously. You're not going to be able to get – I mean, I guess you could maybe get Justin Fields. Certainly you – would think you could get Trey Lance with their selection. It's possible you could get, I doubt Zach Wilson falls that far. I know, but who the hell knows, right? I mean,
who knows? Because right now, I make this comparison all the time. At this point in 2016, it was the Titans and the Browns that had picks 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And it wound up, of course, being the Rams and the Eagles.
And so, both guys are about to get traded.
right. But we can look at picks 1 through 7 right now, the Panthers picking at 8, and we can say, all right, this team needs a quarterback. This team needs a quarterback. But ultimately, you don't know who's going to hop up there. You don't know if the Falcons at 4 are going to take a guy and let him sit a year behind Matt Ryan or half a year. There's so many unknowns right now that if you are the Panthers, if you're any fan or observer, but especially if you're the Panthers, I would not at all set my draft board in permanent Sharpie with, okay, here are the quarterbacks who will be available to us at 8. There's no way you know that.
Yeah. And I do think that if you want to feel, I mean, this is kind of a no-brainer, but like if you want to feel certain that you're going to get a quarterback, you do need to get above the Falcons. But even then, you're still behind the Jets, so you don't know. It's like the only way to know for sure that you could get one of the quarterbacks that's not Trevor Lawrence is to trade with the Jets. That's the only way you can know.
That's the only way you can know. And Cincinnati doesn't need to move from 3 down to 8. Like they have too many pressing.
No, the Dolphins are at 3, right?
Excuse me, Dolphins are at 3. Yeah.
But so, like, I mean, look, 2, 3, the Falcons 4. I
can guess. Falcons are 4.
Did the Bengals get to 6 somehow? How did the Bengals get to 6?
We got Cincinnati at 5. Cincinnati at 5. Philly at 6. Detroit at 7. Carolina at 8.
That's right. Yes. Yeah, so 5. Okay. So I mean, the 1 through 4 are all capable of taking a quarterback.
And also dealing the pick.
Yeah, or dealing the pick. And then 6, 7, I guess the Lions wouldn't take one with Jared Goff there, but who knows? I think you can completely rule it out. I mean, the top 10 is littered with teams that could potentially take a quarterback. So if you're the Texans or the Panthers, like I guess that's my point. If you're the Texans and you feel like you need to draft a quarterback in addition to getting Teddy Bridgewater back from the Panthers in this hypothetical trade, 8, probably not cutting it. That's part of the
problem. 8 is not cutting it. However, this is also important where people say, how many first round picks and whatnot? Listen, the number 2 overall pick to me equals 1.5 first round picks. Like the number 2 pick and the number 24 pick are just worlds apart. And we're really talking about a guy who has a 50-50 shot, not of being a star, but of being a gold jacket Hall of Famer at number 2. Whereas at 24, you're talking about a second round pick is really what you're discussing. And so at 8, what I have kind of talked about with the Panthers is if they can get up and make that pick more attractive, if they can go from 8 to, they're not going to get 4 because the Falcons wouldn't make that deal with them, no matter really what.
Right.
But if they can get somewhere in that top 5 just to make it a little bit more attractive, now we're really talking. Because otherwise, if you're the Panthers, you're going to have to throw in a kicker that you're not going to want to have to throw in. You're going to have to throw in another first rounder or maybe another second rounder. You're going to have to throw in a player that you don't want to part with. And that would be the difficult part for them.
All right. So what do you think the framework would look like if they were like stuck at 8? Because, I mean, you could make a deal with the Jets where you find a way to get from 8 to 2, although that's expensive in and of itself.
That's expensive. What you need for Deshaun, if you want Deshaun or if you just want to get to 2?
We're talking about getting Deshaun.
If you want Deshaun, Deshaun is going to cost something that equates to 4 first-round picks and maybe something else.
Does Christian McCaffrey qualify as a first-round pick?
That would be a first-round pick.
Okay.
And so you can talk about 3 first-rounders, including number 8 this year. You can talk about 2022 and 2023 first-rounders, McCaffrey, and then you might have to throw in a third-rounder somewhere in there.
Would you do that deal if you're Carolina?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I would too.
100%.
Like, first of all, you get McCaffrey off the books, which, I mean – McCaffrey is the favorite player on the franchise. Like,
yeah,
no doubt about it. But he's a running back who has a big contract, and you would
the biggest contract in the NFL. So yeah, I don't think David Tepper. The only hesitation would be that David Tepper. That's the last vestige of his original Panthers that he bought. He really does like Christian and all that. Yeah. If I'm the Texans, I'm going to say, well, I don't want that third round pick. I want McCaffrey and Brian Burns because we need edge rushers. So there's another first round pick.
I don't know where we're at in valuation, but like to me, giving up a player like Brian Burns, who you have spent, it's not just a mid first round pick that you took, you know, it's not like it's number 15 overall to me. He's played better than that.
Yes.
Like if you did the redraft, I think he would go higher. And regardless, you've developed him, like the time that you've spent the last 2 years to make him a better player and to get production out of him and the expectation of what he can do moving forward. That's a premier pick.
So yeah, on a cost controlled rookie deal.
Yeah. So if I'm Carolina and the Texans are, you know, if you can get the Texans talking and they're adamant about Brian Burns being involved, to me, it would be 2 first. So this year's first, next year's first, Brian Burns, and then like a third or, I mean, I think you'd prefer not to throw McCaffrey in there. Cause if you could have Deshaun and McCaffrey and DJ Moore and Rod, like at the very least, you are a very enticing offense.
Yeah. So I don't know if this year, if number 8 overall this year, if let's call it 18 overall next year, Brian Burns and a third round comp pick who might not be on your team in 2 years is going to be enough for Deshaun, especially when, you know, the Dolphins, the Jets, the Broncos, any number of teams could offer more than that. And so because you're going to get the Niners probably could as well, because you're going to start getting into a little bit of an auction once the Texans pick up the phone, it's going to have to be more.
Yeah. And then the other thing too is like, if the pick you send back to Houston next year, the first rounder is below 15, then you have a whole different set of problems because that means you traded for Deshaun Watson and you weren't even really in the playoff hunt. Or I guess you were just, you didn't. Yeah. If you trade for Deshaun Watson, you expect to be a playoff team next year.
Right. And you look at the NFC South and obviously Tampa is going to be right there. But, you know, you talk about who's above or below and how much cap space you have. New Orleans Saints have, you know, are $100 million in the red. You have the Falcons who aren't even going to have a free agency this year.
Yep. They'd have to cut like Deion Jones. We're talking about that too. They'd have to cut like Deion Jones and a bunch of dudes.
They're going to have to restructure guys because there's not, you know, outside of like a Dante Fowler, like they're in such bad shape that it's not just as simple as, hey, here's a high priced guy that we can cut and clear $18 million. Like
there's no one on the roster we were looking at this for HQ and I was like, how are they going to get under the cap? Like they don't have, like
it's all going to be restructures. And so then they're going to kick the can down the road.
Matt Ryan, Julio, just kick it. Yeah.
And I don't know if you want to do that with Matt Ryan and or Julio, because that bill will come due. I would much rather it be with a younger offensive lineman like a Jake Matthews. Yeah. You know, I'd rather it be Grady Jarrett than a quarterback that may not be on the team in 2022 that you're then paying for in 2024.
Yeah, that's called the Cowboys in Romo. That's not what you want. And that's no shade at our colleague, Tony Romo, whatsoever. Okay. Any other thoughts on Watson before we, on Watson?
No, we're not.
We're stagnant on Watson, it feels like.
That's exactly right. And we will be for a while.
Okay. So, I mean, the one other thing I was going to ask you, I mean, do you think that Deshaun Watson's, financial, intestinal, whatever you want to call it, testicular fortitude, moral fortitude, whatever you want to call it, is strong enough to skip games and lose paychecks?
Yes.
Ooh, okay. Because I think that's the crux of it all.
You cannot, if you are Deshaun, come out and be this forceful that you're not going to play for the team, or allow your representation to spread the word that you're not going to, because he hasn't said really anything on the record, right? And then once you guys get into a stare down, you blink because you want to get paid.
Right.
I agree. You can't do that. And that has to be a calculation that Deshaun has made that, hey, I grew up broke. I have more money right now in my life than I will ever spend in three lifetimes. So you want to dock me pay? That's fine. I'm straight. My family's straight. My grandchildren are straight. Yeah. You have to believe that. And I do believe that he understands that.
And he is a principled dude. Like it wouldn't be shocking. Also, if you're the Texans and let's say he sits out games and you get into the season and this is getting ugly, are you going to come after his bonus money? Cause that will send a message. Like you think it's ugly now with the PR stuff. That would get so ugly for them.
And it's different than headlines at CBSSports.com, and it's different than exposés by Sports Illustrated. It sends a message to every free agent. It sends a message to your impending free agents of what you think of them.
Yep.
And it would be worse than when the late Bob McNair and his comments from all of the national anthem controversy. If you see a guy who's done everything the right way in Deshaun Watson, a leader in the community, a leader in the locker room and on the field, be dock pay and bonus money, and they're coming after it and all this stuff and all out of spite. Good luck.
Yeah. And McNair's comments, anyway, we don't have to get McNair's comments. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we will talk about more quarterback situations. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
CBS Wednesday. We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe.
I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
All right, JJ. So is it possible that we are entering a different landscape? Should these quarterbacks be taking shorter deals? Like, I'm not saying Deshaun Watson should have played things out. I mean, you got to get paid when you get paid. But you know, if he wrote out his rookie deal right now, he'd be like, listen, I mean, he wouldn't have the, I mean, it's a catch 22, but you know what I'm saying? Like, if he hadn't locked himself into Houston, I guess he would still have to worry about the franchise tags and all of that.
That's right. I mean, look at Dak Prescott, right? Because to use this logic and to go down this road, look at a Dak Prescott who can't get out of Dallas. They're going to keep tagging him.
Yep.
And to Dallas's detriment, and I said this, Will, the day after, really the day of the Jared Goff extension from a couple years ago, Dallas needs to go to Dak Prescott and whatever it was like 4 years, $130 something million. Tack on another $5 million so that, you know, Dak can say, I get paid more than him, and go to him with that deal. And you'd be in a much better cap situation than you are right now, because they're going to tag him. It's going to be around $38 million. There's going to be no relief that they can do. They can't restructure it. So it's harmful to the Cowboys, but Dak can't get out.
Right.
And, you know, I kind of see where we're going down this road, Will. And about 2 years ago at my previous employer, I wrote a lot about and spoke about on a podcast about we were entering the era of player empowerment in the NFL. And it is not – this was around the time that Antonio Brown forced his way out of Pittsburgh, when we all said, there's too much dead money. Why would Pittsburgh do this?
Right.
And then he got to Oakland, and then he said, I don't want all this guaranteed money. I'm going to force my way out of here too. It was Lev Bell leaving money out there on the table. It was Kirk Cousins getting the first guaranteed contract in NFL history. It was Julio Jones basically getting a guaranteed contract at the wide receiver position. We have seen really the last couple of years, this leverage, the players really taking on their leverage a little bit more. And it was born out of what the NBA was Yep. really doing with these star players. And it was Anthony Davis. It was Kawhi Leonard. It was Paul George. And so these NFL players look over there and say, okay, well, they have guaranteed money. We don't, but what can we do that they are doing as star athletes? And so then it trickled into Jalen Ramsey and Jamal Adams. And we can continue down that list, but what's been driving me nuts, man, is the last probably 4 or so weeks, people are like, all these quarterbacks have looked at Tom Brady and what he's done in Tampa and the leverage that he created to build. This has nothing to do with Tom Brady.
Right.
This has nothing to do with Tom Brady.
Tom Brady kind of run out of New England. Like, he didn't demand a trade. He got run out.
And then he didn't have nearly the number of suitors that he thought he would have, that I thought he would have. And yeah, he got some say because he had 6 Super Bowl championships at the time. So that's what happens. Russell Wilson is not going on the Dan Patrick show and saying what he's saying because Tom Brady is doing something in Tampa. He's doing it because his peers among athletes in the athletic world are doing this. And we in the football world, in the NFL world, need to get our heads out of our asses and realize that it's not all about the NFL, that this has been going on in sports for a while. And so Deshaun Watson and
Matthew Stafford,
Carson Wentz, all these guys are looking at their peers, and that's who they are, because they are Pro Bowl talents. So they're looking at all-stars in other leagues and saying, yeah, I want to do it just like that. Why can't I?
Well, and you know, it's interesting because for so long, I mean, like, baseball had Curt Flood in the 70s, I guess, with free agency. And then, you know, football had Reggie White, who, you know, they forced their way out of the open market. And for years, I think athletes have largely been spinning their wheels about, and, you know, quarterbacks in particular, because there's a whole lot of like socioeconomic things to deal with, unpack with the quarterback position that we mm-hmm. get into. But by and large, the quarterback's expectation, for better or for worse, has been to be the team player, the leader, you know, like, not going to rock the boat, going to be the guy who plays by, you know, team, you know, like, you stand by your team and you do what your team wants. And now it does feel like these guys are not like they see themselves as individual athletes, although they do, but like the, I hate this, like, but the brand power of I don't know, these guys feel, I mean, and it's okay to feel this way. You're like, I don't have to stay here in this situation I don't like just because I'm a quarterback and, you know, this team has control over me. Like, I'm going to force my way out if I can force my way out.
And it's a natural evolution, I think, of what we've seen with athletes. You talk about the brand, you know, they have fans on their side more. They can interact more directly with fans. Yeah. And so fans, I think today, and this is going to be crazy to certainly to athletes who are like, yeah, tell the fans who are on me about fantasy. But I do think that fans today may have slightly less of an allegiance toward their team.
I think you're right.
And a little bit more allegiance toward the player than they even had 5, 10, 20 years ago. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I was just going to say that Deshaun Watson, this case where like everybody is on Deshaun Watson's side is unheard of. I mean, if you did this in the 90s, Remember when LeBron James left and people were like, Jordan would never leave the Bulls, you know?
Right,
like,
I mean, right.
You're just supposed to stay and win with wherever, whatever you got.
And so now Russell Wilson says, I don't have to keep playing behind bad offensive lines. And really, they weren't all that bad this past year, but I don't have to keep playing behind this terrible line. I can say something, and then all of the fans, because I know ownership cares about what fans think, that can then apply pressure. People can know I am unhappy, and we can go about it that way. Aaron Rodgers, same deal. It's very clear that he is unhappy with his contract situation in Green Bay. It's very clear that he's unhappy that they picked Jordan Love number one or with their first round pick. So I can say something, not force my way out of Green Bay, but I can say something that now engenders people to be like, hey, you know what? I'm with you on this. And how does it harm Aaron Rodgers? Because he's not going anywhere. They're not going to start Jordan Love in week two because he said this. There's no harm in it. It's only positives that could come from it. There's only a positive that Russell Wilson, with all the capital he's built in the Pacific Northwest, for him to go on these shows and say these things.
Well, I was going to say, like, too, the reaction from people is not like, oh, look at this spoiled quarterback. It's like, Seahawks, don't screw this. Like, people are like, fire Pete Carroll. Don't screw this up. Like, you know, right. It's crazy.
Now you got to be careful because, you know, and Matt Stafford handled his stuff the right way with Correct. The Lions. And it certainly helped that the Rams and the new Lions general manager came from the Rams, and it all worked out about as nicely as possible. But, you know, Carson Wentz has not earned that same capital. His contract has not yet kicked in. He has shied away from competition, you know, and this isn't going to be a Carson Wentz bash fest, but he is in a different boat than some of these other guys. Yet he's still going to get his wish granted.
It's crazy. He got benched for second round rookie in the middle of a season in a playoff hunt, you know, granted in the NFC East, but whatever.
And he got benched too late. He should have gotten benched like a game or two earlier.
Three games earlier, but right. Like he got benched in the middle of the season. In the middle of a huge contract for a second round rookie, in the middle of a playoff hunt, and then down the stretch kept leaking out, you know, or his camp kept leaking out like, oh, Carson has to decide on his future and if he's happy or not. It's like, what are you doing? Your team's like fighting for the playoffs. And then he like doesn't want to back off it after they fire his coach. It's like, what do you want, bro? Like, what more could you want in Philadelphia? And so, you're right. Like, he's made a stink out of it. And he's, in my opinion, I don't think he's handled it very well. And he's still going to get his wish granted.
And that is the point of the player empowerment, that this has been of movement for some time, that, you know, if Carson Wentz can get his wish granted and he can be dealt to Chicago or Indy for a mid to late first round pick, then hell yeah, Deshaun Watson and Matt Stafford and all of these guys can absolutely get out of their situation, because that's the way the game is today.
Yeah. And you look at some of the trades from, you know, quarterbacks in the past, and Alex Smith got dealt for a second round pick. That was Mahomes driven. Tyrod Taylor has been part of a trade. Nick Foles, who, you know, obviously that whole thing, but Foles was traded to, where's he traded? LA. And then for Sam Bradford was traded. Like Matt Schaub, Matt Cassel, who, you know, Schaub was a backup behind Vic when they traded for him, and Cassel was the backup behind Brady, who played 1 year. So these weren't, I mean, AJ Feely, if you want to go back, Donovan McNabb, like we haven't seen ever. And the one really quarterbacks traded in their prime, like
Cutler.
What's that?
There was a Cutler trade.
Oh, Jay Cutler. You're right. You're right. But that was like McDaniel showed up. Was like, I don't like you. You're out of here. Like he, you know, like that was a, yeah, the Cutler's a good call. Carson only Palmer, that's too. It.
Right, right. And Carson Palmer couldn't make it any more known that he wanted out.
Carson Palmer was like, listen, and he was like very respectful. He's like, listen, I don't want to play for this organization anymore. Please trade me. He wasn't like, trade me now or else. He was just like, listen, I'm fed up with the Bengals. And everybody's like, yeah, that's kind of fair. And then Mike Brown was like, nah, not going to trade you. I'd rather sit on your rights and you can retire. And so he retired, and then, you know, Hugh Jackson made a mistake after Al Davis died. Yeah. Anyway, the point being is like this just very rarely would happen where you would have a quarterback who at one point, you know, was a Pro Bowl caliber guy who was in his prime that would get traded. And we might see, I mean, if you count Goff, Wentz, Stafford, I guess you don't throw out Teddy Bridgewater too, because he's a former first round pick. And like
Watson, yeah.
Watson, I mean, that's insane in terms of the
offense. Garoppolo.
Yeah.
You know, whether he made a Pro Bowl or not. But yeah, I mean, there, you're right. It should happen once every 7 years or something, right? At best. And we could see 3, 4, 5 of them in this one off season.
Yeah. And then that doesn't even factor in Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers, you know, kicking dirt around and making noise in the off season.
And that's really, that's all it is. And it was really hard for me after hearing both of them to be like, oh, wow, this could really be something, because you don't trade the MVP. You don't trade Russell Wilson. It doesn't, you know, if that's a hill that I die on and I die, okay, I'm dead. I'm dead that I died on the hill that you don't trade Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson. I mean, but, okay. Hang my career up. That's fine.
I mean, the Texans is different too. The Texans just won 4 games with Watson playing, and there's all this other stuff going on. The Seahawks were just in the playoffs. Russell's just trying to let Russell is, in my opinion, I think he went and saw Tom Brady. He was sitting sitting there with the Good Guy Award, which the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award is one of the most prestigious awards in professional football. It's a huge award. It is a big honor, but it is the Good Guy Award. And he's sitting there in the booth with Roger Goodell and his wife, masked up, watching Tom Brady win number 7, holding the Good Guy Award, still without an MVP vote, and his team lost to Chase Walford or John Walford in the playoffs. Like, and the corpse of Jared Goff, who just got traded. So I understand why. I think he had like some FOMO frustration, and basically wants to say, hey, look, I just saw Drew Brees. Drew Brees is retiring. He has one. Aaron Rodgers just came up woefully short to this guy who just won't quit winning. He has one. I don't want to retire with just one in Seattle. And I think that's sort of what his frustration was born out of, and probably Aaron Rodgers too, you know, and that's okay. Send a message. You're under contract. You're a huge asset. You're borderline untradeable because you're cap hit. I mean, send a message. It's fine.
Yeah. It's a leverage play. You want to flex your muscle a little bit, and that's all it is. That really is all it is. And now Seattle, when they do sign someone, when they sign an offensive lineman, when they sign a skill position who is a weapon, who ran a 4.25 at whatever combine they're going to have, right? Whenever they do that, they can then say, and all the fans can say, look here, Russell, there you go. So
it may have been when Antonio Brown caught the touchdown of the Super Bowl, because Russ lobbied. I mean, he was lobbying for Antonio Brown. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that would have put him over the top by any stretch, but. Yeah,
I get it. But I think your point of they're just kicking dirt, that's exactly what it is. And they want to make sure that as the dust settles, their uniforms are clean, everything's happy, everybody's good. You heard me? Okay, let's go.
It'd be like if for whatever, you know, let's say that the combine was actually happening and you and I don't go to the combine. CBS is like, nah, you guys aren't going to the combine. And so instead of like talking about football players on here, we come on the podcast and like passively aggressively talk about, you know, that's all it is. Like you're a little frustrated, you're letting it out, and you're doing it in a way where, you know, I'm not saying that we're that way. I'm just saying that feels like what it
is. And that's what it is. So Wentz is going to get dealt, and all that Super Bowl week talk was just trying to gin up a lot of urgency. Hey, you know, this house might sell, guys. You might want to put in an offer. That's all that was. He's going to get dealt, and he's going to get dealt to one of those two teams, and that'll be that. You know, I do believe ultimately Watson will get traded, but it's not going to be anytime soon. I think that the Niners are going to be okay with Jimmy Garoppolo if he comes back. But if they can do better, and I don't believe Sam Darnold or Mitch Trubisky are better than Jimmy Garoppolo, especially at his $25 million number, then okay. But if they can do better, if they can get Deshaun Watson, that's an extremely tradable contract that Jimmy Garoppolo has, where you owe him $25 million this year, but you can cut him if there's injury or whatever next year. And if he plays well, $25 million for a pretty good quarterback is a steal.
That's the thing, is like Carson Wentz isn't even part of the dominoes, I don't think. I think Carson Wentz is like one little, you know, like sometimes like you just set up a little domino outside the dominoes and it's just, you just knock it over. That's what Carson Wentz is. And Watson is the guy that's going to start these dominoes.
Correct.
Because if Watson goes to San Francisco, then maybe Garoppolo goes to New England. And then, you know,
now New England doesn't have to do that at 15 and move up, which they may.
Exactly. And then, I mean, you know, again, like maybe if the Niners like Sam Darnold and the Jets are thinking, fall in love with the quarterback. I mean, I'm just saying there's, you know, but the Niners are probably going to wait and see what happens to Watson. And for the, you know, there's, so that Watson's the real domino here, but I agree with you. I think Wentz will get dealt sooner and later. And then we're going to have to ride out this Watson thing and maybe Derek Carr will get moved in between then. Who knows?
Yeah. Carr, Mariota, then you have Tua down in Miami. If Watson goes to Miami, somebody's going to want Tua. Yeah. And he won't be there in Miami.
Right. So yeah, the Watson's the domino. We wait and see how it goes. And I'm sure we'll talk to you more about it, in the near future, JJ.
Can't wait.
Thanks, buddy.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.